How many here have never had a conflict with anybody in the church? How many here have caused a conflict? Which everybody knows. Some of you. Have there been a few of us who have done things and caused conflict that we didn't know anything about? Yes. Yes, Byron brought it up to me on a transhumanism one. On the first one I gave, I rang the cowbell, but not the second one. See? See? So, we're going to have little rough spots from time to time. And some of those will be residual from what happened in the past. And some of us will be both totally right, but from our individual perspectives, we may not see it exactly the same. For example, if someone says, well, you shouldn't bring that up, you're dividing the church. Okay. And he says, well, I brought this just as a point of information. Both are correct from your own perspective. You should have introduced it with a disclaimer. That would help. Okay? So, always remember, you see things through your own perspective and your own memory of what you have lived in the past. All of us do. See? And in some cases, this makes us a little super sensitive because we've been through things and we don't want to go through it again, right? I don't. You want to go through the things you've gone through in the past? Again? No. So when you see what looks like a little bit of a rising, when it really may not be, but because of your perspective and what you've gone through, it looks like that it is. Okay? That's a time. That's the time to go face to face with each other. See? That's how you solve it. Those are individual problems. Now, we're going to talk about some things. I've got a whole series on Judge Righteous Judgment, so I'm going to make sure you all get it, and those out there in video land and CD land, if you want it, you can write for it. Turn to John 7:24. Okay, John 7:24. And we'll learn just a few of the principles of righteous judgment. Now, as we're doing this, think of some criminal cases that have come up even recently. The one in Florida, okay? Think of that. Rush to judgment and rush to condemnation and rush with assumptions. With impartial facts, bring you wrong conclusions and offended people. Now, John 7, verse 24. Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. The only way you can do that is get all the facts. Now, we're going to look at some proverbs. Come to the book of Proverbs, and this will help us. Here are some things that are true. And they especially know this with politics. The first one out with the story, it sticks. Right? Whether it's true or not. Okay? Proverbs 18. Let's go there. Proverbs 18 and verse 13. Verse 13 reads, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Have you ever done that? Someone's trying to tell you something, you cut them off and say, oh, I already know. Okay. Remember what happened with Trayvon? One woman said, he was hunted down like a dog. Didn't know any of the facts. Now, when you have conspiracy of the media against truth, which they did. They withheld the photos showing what happened to George Zimmerman, right? Okay. Now, if you're going to hear a matter, you have to hear it all. You have to get all the facts. Okay. Now, let's come over here to verse 19. Here's what happens when you make emotional statements. Now, how do you know it's an emotional statement? Well, either the person is all upset and angry, or they say, I feel. I feel. Based on what? See, the thing is, you have to get the facts, not the feelings. Okay? Notice, if you don't, verse 19 takes over. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and their disagreements are like the bars of a fortress. Now, this is especially true if you have been offended in the past, or if you have gone through things in the church which are absolutely terrible and ungodly and unscriptural. You're going to be very sensitive to react. That's understandable. But you see, always remember, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. See, all of your mistakes, all the mistakes of other people, all of the rough edges that conflict, maybe from time to time, are there so that we can work them out between ourselves. And then division and political parties don't form. Now, when that didn't happen in the church, remember that? When they told us all the lies and the underground truth, which they labeled as gossip. Now, some things are gossip, some things are slander, some things are underground truth, because you can't officially say that they are so because of the ruling party in government or the ruling hierarchy within a church. See, it's like today, there's a big controversy going on at the Vatican because they are not open and don't tell people what happened. All the secret intrigues and all the secret problems were let out. See? So this causes confusion. This causes division. Now, come over down just to verse 21. Here's what we need to understand with what we're saying and speaking. See, this is why we need to solve problems that are between us. If you have a problem with this person over here, you go to him or her. If you have a problem with me, you come to me. I'll listen. If I'm wrong, I'll repent. And you need to forgive me. If it's just a misunderstanding, then we just wipe the slate clean. But don't hold it in here. And don't fuel it with emotions and feelings, see? All right. Verse 21. Remember this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat the fruit of it. Whoa, that's a pretty heavy statement, isn't it, see? Yes, indeed. So we shouldn't be exercising those things against us. All right. Now let's come down to chapter 20. Okay, let's go back to, we covered 21. Okay. 20 and verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will rail on. Now, when we have contentions that come up, which they will, we're just people. We have feelings, we have difficulties, we have mistakes. That'll happen. So we resolve it ourselves. Okay? Now, let's come over here to Proverbs 12. We're going to look at a few Proverbs. It's interesting how Proverbs have these things here for us. Okay? Now, we're to be wise. Okay? Proverbs 12 and verse 15. The way of fools... Oh, let's go to verse 14. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the reward of a man's hands shall be given to him. Now, that is if you do it right. Okay? Now, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who listens to advice is wise. Okay? Now, what we need to do is this. If someone comes to you with a problem or difficulty concerning you and the individual, now, if you don't know how to start out, you don't walk up and say, hey, I got something against you there, guy. You know, you may take them aside and say, hey, I need to have a small Matthew 18 with you. Would you mind? Now, if you do that, all ears. And then you discuss it as mature adults. Are we not to grow up in Christ? Yes. Stop and think for a minute. How are we going to rule the world if we can't solve little problems among ourselves? Now, this is not talking about false doctrine. We've covered that. That's another whole different subject, see? Okay? Oh, it's going to be a difficult proposition. Okay? Now, verse 17. He who speaks truth shows forth righteousness. However, we're going to see how do you say it? Because there are times, I know Dolores has told me, Fred, why did you say that? What was right? It's not what you said. It's how you said it. See? And of course, I have the most friendly face in the world and the kindest, most lovely smile that there ever was. No, my countenance by nature is very fierce. And if I get intense, that magnifies it. So I need to watch out what I do and how I say things. Okay? Now, there may be a time for it, but not over a little issue. You know? Like I said in the past, you don't get rid of a fly by shooting it with a 105 howitzer. You blow up the whole house. You got rid of the fly, but you got rid of the house. Okay? Now, verse 19. Okay, verse 18. Let's finish here. There are those who speak like the piercing of a sword. Boom! Right through. But the tongue of the wise heals. What good does it do if you kill your brother by offending him so greatly? Or your sister by offending him so greatly? See? No. You come in meekness, the spirit of truth, the spirit of love, the spirit of grace, and you say, hey, let's have a Matthew 18. How about if we go have a cup of coffee? Be willing to listen. Maybe it was something that was misinterpreted. Maybe it was something that it was a real fault. Maybe it was something that both of you misinterpreted. Is that possible? Yes, indeed. See, but I understand how sensitive that we are considering our past church experiences, right? So you're very on guard. Now, it's good to be on guard, but you don't have to lop off the head the first time something is said. Pew! See, you know, give a little space. Okay? Verse 19, the lips of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. All right, let's come over here to chapter 21. On Thursday. Proverbs 21 and verse 23. All right. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. You ever heard of the foot and mouth disease? Foot in the mouth? It's very bad without your shoes and a bad case athlete's foot. Okay? Proverbs 22 and verse 20. No, verse 10. Proverbs 22 and verse 10. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, quarreling and abuse shall cease. Now, that wasn't done properly, was it? And what happens? Then everybody has to cluster around with those, especially if you're in a larger group, cluster around with those that agree with you. Otherwise, you have no protection from it. See? Well, if it's necessary to do that, well then, but what happened to the brethren was that they were put in fear that if they left the church, they would lose salvation. They never thought that maybe the whole church might lose salvation. Okay? So we need to keep all these things in perspective. All right? Let's come here to chapter 17 and verse 14. The beginning of strife is like letting out water. Now think of that. Have you ever seen the pictures with an earthen dam? And the rains came, the winds blew, and the water came down, and the dam filled up, and then, bing, there was a crack. And then, bing, 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 got a little wider. And then, got wider and wider. And all of a sudden, it opened up, and the water comes gushing down in the valley, wiping out homes and cars and everything in its path. So it may start as a small thing. I think they're advertising on television now, watching the Hatfields and McCoys. See? That's how it started. Hateful, unforgiving, vengeful. And once something started, it broke out just like letting out of water. And when a wall of water comes, it wipes everything out of the way, doesn't it? See? So we don't want to let it get to that. Therefore, drop the dispute before a quarrel breaks out. And how do you do that? You merely say, well, let's get all the facts. I'll get mine, you get yours, and we'll get back together when we get the facts all together. Okay? Let's have peace. So we can approach these things from that point of view, and that will work. All right? Now let's come to Proverbs. All right, Proverbs 11 and verse 25. Okay, the second half of the verse, Proverbs 11 and verse 25. Well, let's read the whole thing. The soul who gives generously shall be made prosperous. I've seen that. There's another proverb. Yeah, there's another proverb which says in another place, there is the one who has plenty, yet he's poor. That's the one who's in debt and trying to stay ahead of the foreclosure experts and repo experts. Okay? There is the one who appears poor but has a lot, because he doesn't tell you, but he'll be made prosperous. He who waters shall be watered himself. Very interesting verse, isn't it? Now, this can be in our relations with one another, that our relations we keep at a good level so we're in effect cheerfully helping each other, which is the same as watering. Okay? Who was it that was telling me here about their plants? Oh, Susie, yes. And they've also tested this. And also with the wrong kind of music for plants. You can kill them with modern music. You can encourage them with friendly words. Not that they have a mind, but everything that God has created with life has electronic impulses in them to keep them alive. Did you know that every leaf on a tree is a solar panel? Yes. Keeps the tree alive. Okay? Feeds back oxygen to us. Okay? Likewise, in our relationships, if we encourage one another and we water one another, now, don't get funny and get a balloon and pop over someone's head full of water. Okay? But this is true. If I am teaching you, then God will teach me. If I don't teach you, God won't teach me. If I teach you so you learn, and I don't learn myself, then we come to a stagnation. You ever been in a church where there's stagnation? Okay. All right, come to 1 Corinthians 3. Here's an interesting scripture. 1 Corinthians 3. And so when I first read that in reading the Proverbs for Randy, this struck me. Because this is exactly what we need to do. See? And if we approach each other with love, and with grace and with kindness, we'll receive it back. Now look, brethren, all the churches that have come out of the WCG have suffered from these things. And we all have to come to the point in our own personal lives and examine our own hearts and thoughts and put it behind us. Because we're going to have to deal with new sets of problems with new people coming in, because they will be coming. Church at home is going to produce. They're going to have their own sets of problems, see? So if we learn how to overcome, that will help us help them. It's not working. But in this world, who knows? Okay? So here, Paul, he says, I planted, Apollos watered, and that fulfills the Proverbs, he who waters shall be watered. God gave the increase. Nevertheless, neither is he who plants anything, didn't exalt himself, nor he who waters, for it is God who gives the increase. Now, God gives the increase in growing in grace and knowledge. God gives the increase in the number of people that he sends. And I'm convinced that all the churches of God need to get their acts cleaned up. That includes all of us. So that God can call more people. Why would he want to call new people into the midst of fighting and wrangling and arguing and petty politics? Why would he call new people into a church which says, when you get into this church, you are not allowed to talk to your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, even your own children who are not in the church? Not going to work. See? Okay. Let's come back here to chapter 1. Let's look at a few verses here. Let's understand what God has done for us. Chapter 1, verse 10. All right, let's come back here to verse 6. Nope, verse 5. Nope, verse 4. I can count backwards. Okay. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace that has been given to you in Christ Jesus, that you have been spiritually enriched in him in everything and in all discourse and knowledge, according to the testimony of Christ, as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you did not lack even one spiritual gift while you are waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this was before you knew it was going to be a long time before Christ returned, who will strengthen you to the end. Now, that's quite a verse, isn't it? Be strengthened. The proverb also says, If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is little. So we need to be strong in those times. Christ will strengthen us to the end, that you may be unimpeachable in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, that's part of the grace. Our fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ is our relationship with God. See? This is the thing. That's why it's so great. That's why grace is so fantastic. Each one of us have a, as it were, you know, a lot of people have cell phones, and I'm thankful everybody turned them off before we started. But it's better than a cell phone. You don't need a battery. See? It's right here. You have direct access to God the Father, and the first words you say in your prayer are what? Our Father. That's amazing, isn't it? All right, now verse 10. It's supposed to come down to us, see? Fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ comes down to us and then to each other. Notice. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Not like a bunch of robots, but you understand the truth, and you can even explain the truth in different words that are still correct. Okay? I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, rather that you be knit together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So this is the goal of his epistle. And he knew that he had a lot of problems to address. So he talks about the calling, the last part of chapter 1. You see your calling, brethren. Chapter 2, he talks about how God's Spirit reveals even the deep things of God. Then chapter 3, so let's just do a little survey here. Chapter 3, then he prepares them and tells them that they are a temple of the living God. Chapter 4, he says, all ministers are to be stewards, and don't be trying to puff up one minister against another minister. Chapter 5, you got sin in Corinth City. So he says, put that one out. Chapter 6, he says, what? Don't you know how to judge? And where did we start? Judge righteous judgment. Chapter 7, then he talks about all the immorality and the need for marriage and things like that. Chapter 8, eating things sacrificed to idols. Chapter 9, then he talks about the necessity of tithing and why he didn't do it. Okay. Chapter 10, he says, all the things in the Old Testament happened as types or examples for us. Chapter 11, then he talks about the proper relationship between men and God, women and men, the Passover. Chapter 12, he talks that we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Chapter 13 is the chapter on love. Now then, he brings out another problem. Come over here to chapter 14, and that's the one concerning speaking in languages. All right, let's come to verse 23. Therefore, if the whole church is assembled together in one place and all are speaking in unknown languages, and an unlearned person or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you have lost your minds? How many here have been to a Pentecostal church where they jump up and down and run around? When you finally came to your senses, you said, yes, they've lost their minds. Okay? But if all prophesy, and prophecy here is not a foretelling of the future, this is to speak inspired speaking. And an unbeliever or an unlearned person comes in, he will be convicted by all and will be discerned by all. And in this way, the secrets of his heart are exposed, that is, before God. And so, bowing down on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is indeed among you. All right, now he set the stage. I want you to understand how the Apostle Paul wrote this. I want you to go back and restudy all of 1 Corinthians and see how he set the stage. First, he set the goal. Then he encouraged them. Then he corrected them. Then he set the goal. Then he encouraged them. Then he corrected him. Now notice, here comes the correction. Verse 26. What is it then, brethren? When you assemble together, each of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a language, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Over in this corner are all those for Paul. Over in that corner, all those for Peter. Over in the other corner, all those for apostle. Over all in that corner, all those who are speaking in tongues. Over here in the back, you have those who then have a revelation, an interpretation. Sound like a church you attended recently? Or in the past? Yes. I get these things continuously with emails sent to me. I got one the other day. Oh, I had a vision of God. And here is what the Sabbath really, really is. You start with the new moon. Then you count 7 days and that's the Sabbath. It's called the lunar Sabbath. Anybody heard of it before? I wrote on it, your vision was not from God. It was from Satan. And your calendar is not true because you've rejected God's Hebrew, calculated Hebrew calendar. Okay? He was in South Africa, so I guess I'm safe. Who knows? But imagine walking into a church that way. All right, now come down here to verse 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In other words, if you're going to get up and speak and say something, it has to be with intelligence, it has to be with understanding, it has to be with knowledge. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. That's what it needs to be. How did he start out the epistle? Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So here then is how to handle the problems there and to take care of it. Now, what this does for us is this. Since they have been corrected long, long time ago, as we read and study this and we drink in of it, we ourselves can be corrected so we don't repeat it. See? So there's value in that. Now notice what he said. Verse 36. Because they were really getting uppity uppity. What? Did the word of God originate with you? Or did it come only to you and no one else? Now remember all the philosophers. Remember all of those with their good ideas. So then he says this. Verse 37, if anyone thinks he's a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write to you are commandments of the Lord. Now, his correction gets pretty strong here, verse 38. But if anyone chooses to be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Okay? Not a day we're not to do that. All right. Now let's see how we are to resolve problems and difficulties among ourselves. We know what Matthew 18 is about. We've covered that. God wants us to use it. So I'll just use the verbiage of a commercial in the past. Try it. You'll like it. Okay? And when it's all done, you forgive each other, hug and kiss each other, shake hands, and you go away in peace. then you will know that it works. That's why God gave it. All right? So let's see how Paul applied it. Let's come to Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians, the second chapter. Now, since we're here, come over to chapter 1 and verse 16. Or verse 6, rather. Philippians 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing. And this is what we need to do. And I have confidence that God is going to do it. You need to have confidence that God is going to do it. We need to have confidence that God will lead us in taking care of our little rough edges as mature adults, speaking to one another, etc., and solving them without getting into strife and arguments and contentions, seeking out the facts, seeking out the truth, and not motivated by feelings of any kind. Except love. All right. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you, that's grace. Because we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. See, so everything we are going through, God is creating in us with his Spirit, to prepare us for eternal life, to teach us how we need to think. And along the way, we're going to make a lot of mistakes. He'll forgive us. We can recover. We can learn. We can change. Okay? The good work in you, he will complete until the day of Jesus Christ. God's not going to give up on you. Now, all of us, we're marching toward that final line, aren't we? Yes, indeed. God knows that when we get close to the final line, we're going to get weak. Our bodies are going to start failing. And God promises in the Psalms that when you're old and gray, he won't leave you. When you're weak and ready to expire, that's part of God's plan, because he's going to raise you up. But he's going to complete the work in us. And the finishing touch is going to be the resurrection. Can you imagine what a day that's going to be? I think in the book Appointed Times, I brought up that is it that the whole world is going to see all the saints being raised from the dead? Wouldn't that be something? Look, there goes another one. Where did they come from? Of course, they won't be able to see the angels taking us up there. Okay? And they're going to be absolutely convinced, beyond any shadow of doubt, that the aliens are invading. Here's this big sea of glass over Jerusalem. All right. Now come over here to chapter 2 and verse 1. Now then, if there be any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any deep inner affections and compassions, fulfill my joy that you be the same, of the same mind, having the same love, being joined together in soul, minding the one thing, the kingdom of God, and being able to be changed so that God can qualify you for the first resurrection. That's what we're minding. Now, when you keep that in perspective, all the little differences and little conflicts and little frictions that come up between us, between husband and wife, between children and parents, you can handle them. You can take care of them. Let nothing be done through contention or vainglory, but in humility, each esteeming the other above himself, and let each one look not only after his own things, but let each one also consider the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus also. Then it talks about how he humbled himself. Okay? Now, Come over here to Colossians, the third chapter, and we'll end here. There are other scriptures that we can cover. There are some that I have in my notes that I don't have time to cover because I can't keep you here all day. Okay. Colossians 3. Now also, if you read the end of Colossians, they're instructed to read this in the church of the Laodiceans too. So let's read it. And this, notice again how Paul structures this. And I want you to understand something, why the New Testament, even in the way it is written, demonstrates the grace of God directly to us. Because all the writings of the apostles, with the exception of the Gospels and the book of Acts, all are called epistles. And epistles are letters. So these are letters, grace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, from them to us. See? Personal. You pray to God, that's personal. God's word is given personal in letter form. Old Testament wasn't written that way. Some of the Psalms come close to it. But in this epistle, now notice, just like he's talking to us, see? And isn't it interesting that all the words of the apostles, Jesus said they would be a witness unto the ends of the earth, and they never counted on another 2,000 years. But this is what they wrote. And they never grasped that it would be the whole world. The whole world to them was what we would call the area of the Mediterranean and on up into Europe. Maybe over to India. That was the whole world to them. But to the whole world. Now, God has granted the technology that we can do a lot with a little. All of our websites are up 24/7. Many other websites, they're all up there 24/7. See? Now I hope and pray that more understand the truth and preach the truth and people can find it. See? We'll do what we can, our part. Okay, chapter 3 and verse 1. Therefore, if you've been raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. That's where our prayers go. Set your affections on the things that are above and not on the things that are on the earth. That is, be spiritually minded, not carnally minded. For you have died. You've died to the world. You've died to sin. You have died to Satan. And your life has been hid together in Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is manifested, then he also shall be manifested. Then you shall also be manifested with him in glory. Now, what is that going to be like? You know, you look in the mirror, you look at this old body, and you think, how's God going to do that? Instantly. What's it going to be like to have a body of glory? Because that's going to happen. What are we to do with the carnal things within us we still need to overcome? All right, verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, sexual immorality, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Whoa! And weren't some of those things just rampant within the church? Unfortunately. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, among whom you also once walked when you were living in these things. But now, see, there is always a progression of overcoming. There's always a progression of improving. Because with God's Spirit in us and the power of God and God's desire and our repentance and yielding to God, he is molding us. He is fashioning us. Because we are his workmanship. But now you should put off all these things. Wrath, indignation, malice, blasphemy, and foul language from your mouth. He's talking to baptized Christians, right? Showing that they have their own carnality yet to continue to overcome. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you put off the old man together with its deeds, that is in baptism, and have put on the new man, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Not wonderful? We're being renewed in knowledge according to God the Father and Jesus Christ. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all things and in all. So now you put those out, then you have to put something in. And so our whole life is putting out carnality, putting in spirituality. You put out carnality by recognizing sin, recognizing evil through the power of God's Spirit, and you put in the qualities that God wants to have, and that comes through prayer and study and serving each other. Put on then, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, deep inner affections, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Forbearance is the first point of solving a problem. Now, as I've mentioned before and covered, doctrinal problems are different. Those have to be handled differently. If one has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also should you forgive. Above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. That's the whole goal, to be perfected in Christ. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called into one body, and be thankful, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And in everything, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So this is how we can solve the problems. See? And this way, it will bring greater peace, greater love, greater joy, greater fellowship, and a good place for God to send new people that need help. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org. Org.